What's up, everybody? This is Fantasy Sports Today. Chris Meany, Ashley Docking here with you on this lovely Friday, Junior. It's Thursday. And I don't know about you, Chris, I am dead ass tired because that game seven last night. Congratulations to the Chicago Cubs, first of all. Congratulations to all their long suffering fans, second off. But that game was so long. And by the time that Rajay Davis hit that home run, I was in too deep to stop watching.
And of course.
Well, it was like 5-1. I'm like, okay, good. I can go to sleep. I don't have to stay up for this whole thing.
Yeah.
They tie it up.
And, then a little bit of a rain delay.
Yeah.
Awesome stuff. I mean, from a baseball fan, I mean, that's just what you want to see. You want to see a wicked World Series and an unbelievable Game 7, and that's what we got. That was one of the best ones. It reminded me of St. Louis and Texas years ago. It's a great battle that they had in the World Series. So this was awesome to see. I mean, just so many different variations of just how everything played out. Like Rajay Davis gets the start. He plays in the outfield. He actually has a couple mistakes.
He makes a throwing error where he didn't come up throwing and the second run scored.
He didn't get Bryan at home, a nice heads-up play to Bryan, but then he's able to get the two-run shot off Chapman, a guy that you don't expect to hit home runs but can hit lefties. So it's like everything just worked out really good, obviously not for Cleveland, but this is great. I mean, hats off to Cleveland for doing what they did. I mean, taking 14 of 18 against Detroit, 14 of 19 against Kansas City, sweeping the Red Sox, quieting the Jays bats.
Five shutouts.
And then just really rolling in this World Series, too. It's just the Cubs are a better team, and it's not much of a surprise
in a watered down
to me. I mean, they were favored to win it all. I mean, Michael Mullen and ourselves at the start of the season, we made a win total prop bet. It's like 102.5. They get to 103. It's just like the Cubs are on their way to probably. It's so hard to get back, but they're
but
on their way to.
They have a lot of young talent.
I mean, Rizzo, Bryant, Baez, Russell, that whole infield, and everybody gave credit to Jason Hayward, who absolutely did nothing all season long. He was fantastic. Everyone. The interviews are like, that rain delay really helped us out. We got our composure back.
Yeah.
And it was Hayward that told everybody in the clubhouse how much of bosses we all were, how awesome we were. We're here in the World Series,
gave
Game 7. Let's
talk.
Have fun.
Let's just do it.
And then they came out rolling.
Well, there's a few people that apparently knew what was going to happen before anyone else. So, first of all, is Michael Lee. He put in his yearbook, I think it was 93 when he put the yearbook out, and he predicted the Cubs to win in 2016.
Music, you heard it here first.
Yeah, and then there was a tweet by a Gio Reyes fan, who apparently is followed by who's followed by Justin Bieber. This tweet was put in 2014. He tweeted this out. He said they're gonna win. He said they're gonna play Cleveland. He said there's gonna be extra innings, then an apocalypse.
That is, the game would just tie in extras.
Just end in a tie.
Really crazy because I saw this tweet surface last night, and there was probably about I don't know, like maybe 1,000 retweets, and then honestly, within 15 minutes, it was like at 100,000. And then this morning before I came on, it was like 155,000.
Yeah.
So just nuts. Kind of cool. He had said himself that he tweeted that the day that Madden signed with the Cubs in 2014.
Okay.
And then a lot of people were really on him over the past week because it kind of surfaced last week. And he had said, no, listen, go to my predictions. He had everything right, Ashley.
Yeah.
He had the Jays losing to Cleveland. Jays
really?
Beating Texas. Jays losing to Cleveland. The Cleveland beating the Red Sox. The Dodgers losing to beating the Nationals and losing to the Cubs. Like, it just really kind of freaky. And then the game stopped at one period when it was tied in extras because of the rain.
And they're showing the Doppler radar, and there's like this big storm about to come in on Cleveland.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, we're going to
really
die.
Really cool. And then all the Back to the Future 2 stuff, like the Cubs are going to win the World Series in 2016.
I thought it was
really
2015.
Cool. Yeah.
That was in 2016.
I thought it was 16.
TBD.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, we got some actual fantasy stuff to talk about. So first of all, the Eagles have released Josh Huff, their wide receiver. He was arrested not only for a DUI, he had unlawful possession of a weapon, he had the weed in his car, he had 6 Hollow Point bullets, and he also had tinted windows. So, he gone.
He's done. And Doug Peterson said yesterday that he was
like,
going to play.
Gonna play. We're going to have him on the team. So
stop
he's going
to
be
lying to me, Doug.
Anyway, so Jaquizz Rodgers officially inactive for the Thursday Nighter tonight against the Falcons, which means Antoine, and whatever.
A.T. Can we call him A.T.S.?
Smith?
A.T.S.?
ATS? We're going to call him Antoine Smith.
I think it's Antoine. I hear a bunch.
I went on NFL.com and listened to like 4 calls of touchdowns that he had. Anyway, he is someone that you need to target in this offense. He was with Dirk Cutter in I'm thinking Jim Bob Cutter.
He's
with Dirk Cutter in Atlanta, so he's someone that he trusts. The same with Jaquizz Rodgers, which is why Cutter had no problem just throwing him into the offense because it's someone that he knows. But there's also some people like Cameron too, Drew, who think that it's going to be Barber.
Yeah.
would be more valuable in this offense right now?
I think it's Smith. It's certainly in a PPR league. I mean, this guy's never had more than four carries in a game. He's never had more than two drives in a game. So it's hard to really predict what he's going to be able to do today. But nobody is, you know, in terms of just this team in Tampa, the fourth most rushes since week four in the NFL. We know how they've used Jaquizz Rodgers when he was playing. They know, we know how they used Smith when he was playing, when Martin was out. So I just think that, you know, he outsnapped him 22-3 last week. He's a guy that can catch balls in the backfield. If you look at his career numbers, yards per catch, yards per attempt is pretty good. But again, he has only had 35 carries in his NFL career. But I think there's something there. You could play him. But yeah, camera two, Drew was, you know, should I play him or should I play LeSean McCoy? But he just told me LeSean McCoy back to practice today. So that's good news as well. So if I'm reaching for upside, I think it's Smith, but it's really hard to trust any of these guys. Mm-hmm. But I think I can get behind starting Smith, certainly in a PPR league as a flex spot. Six teams on bye, a lot of backs who are really dinged up as well.
Well, the thing that you can count on is that Tampa, since week five, has been the second best team in terms of the rush attempts besides Tennessee. So you know that they're going to have to go to their ground game at some point. So maybe Smith can be the one who can get the ball in the end zone, and that would make it worth it. DeMarco Murray, he was sidelined at practice with a toe injury. He was limited. So we're not sure what his status is going to be. He did play through it last week, and he had a great week, as he usually does. DeMarco Murray's
been
phenomenal
awesome.
This season.
So
but what this could mean is that it could mean that Derrick Henry should be on your radar if he isn't a little bit more. They're playing the San Diego Chargers. There could be an opportunity for Henry to get in there, maybe a little bit of a 60-40 split, and then touchdown potential.
I agree. I mean, he had a touchdown last week. He stole one from Murray. I said with Pat on the Pat Mayo Hour on Tuesday, I said you can get behind playing both of these guys, and I feel confident about that still. I think Henry, for me, is a top 20 borderline back this week. They're playing the Chargers. Last week, 16 for 60, four catches for 37 yards. You see he can catch the ball. He's gotten 10 targets, 9 receptions. So he hasn't had a lot of play, but he's starting to get some. And this is a team, you know, Tennessee is fighting for a playoff spot. That division is within reach for them. So they're probably going to want to be cautious with Murray. I don't expect him to practice too much. As you said, Ashley, a little bit limited. So I think we're going to see a lot of him. And I think we're going to see a lot of CJ Procise as the season continues
Another
rookie.
Yeah, the clear number two. He's going to be definitely someone to target. He had a great week last week.
Yeah, four catches, 80 yards.
That was the big thing, right? He broke one of those catches off for 43 yards, but it doesn't matter because that's what good running backs do. We had this conversation before. You can't take that away from them because that's where you get that value. So CJ Procise, someone to target. Jerick McKinnon did not practice again Wednesday, still dealing with that ankle injury. Matt Asiata still is the one to, I guess, want to own if you want to own a Viking. We talked about it before, though. Neither of these guys is efficient. They run for under 4 yards per carry. We saw Asiata with multiple opportunities in the red zone, I believe it was.
He's awful.
He couldn't. Well, the Vikings got one real drive in the red zone. That was a terrible game. It was an off game for the Vikings.
North Turner is so frustrated. Did he just quit?
Yeah.
It's like Asiata's no good. I'm dealing with Bradford.
He had back-to-back opportunities inside the five. It got stuffed, and then Bradford got sacked. So it's a tough offense.
Yeah, 14 for 55, 12 for 55, 14 for 42. You're just really banking on a touchdown, hoping, and he's at least getting volume. But Procise should be picked up, certainly in PPR leagues. He's going to be involved. And Christy Michael, giving this guy a lot of love, I think now's the opportunity to sell him.
Travis Benjamin, grade 2 PCL sprain, will not be playing this week. What does that mean for Terrell Williams? What does that mean for Dontrell Inman? Jake Seeley talks about it in his Week 9 rankings up next. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Chris Meaney, Ashley Docking here with you. And it's time, as always, for our weekly rankings. And to help us out, well, I guess that's kind of an understatement, to give us his rankings, Jake Seeley from Roto Experts. What's up, Jake?
Not too much. How you guys been?
The Fantasy Pro stud, as he said earlier, just getting all the rankings right again this year. Jake, that's why we have you on, buddy. We're just going to touch on a few of your rankings, but those who really want to go deep into it, look at sleepers, busts, DFS plays, check out rotoexperts.com. Every Wednesday, Jake gets them up. So let's talk about the quarterbacks this week, Jake. Six teams on bye. It looks like Big Ben is back, and that's where we kind of want to start. You see Rivers in there. Dak has got a nice matchup. Jameis again. Mariota, who's got a decent one, who's been pretty good over the last 4 weeks. But Ben is who we want to talk about. And I was just watching NFL Network yesterday, and they were asking him, you know, how's the knee? Like, it probably looks pretty good. He's like, I just had surgery last week. It's sore. It's really sore. And then Terrell Suggs was saying, it's the same old with Ben. He's not going to play. Maybe he's questionable, and then he's going to play, and he's going to be awesome. So what's your take on Big Ben and just everybody together in that offense with Ben back?
I think everything is great for everybody else with Ben back, and the fact that Sammy Coates is stepping into the number two role, and you can push him up your rankings and even start him. Antonio Brown, he's still getting yards with Landry Jones, but now he's got the touchdown upside back. Everything is great with Ben Roethlisberger at quarterback. However, Ben Roethlisberger isn't always great when he's playing the Ravens and on the road. So I have him ranked where I do because there are six teams on a bye, because he has the upside. And 2 years ago, he did have one really big game against the Ravens, but that's the potential he always brings. With everybody being healthy now, Darius Hayward Bay taking over Marcus Wheaton, now you have two really big deep play threats in Coates and Hayward Bay out there. So he could come out and have one of his 340-yard games and three touchdowns, because that's the upside he always brings. It's just the only problem with Ben is he always has the downside of, one, getting hurt, or two, having a 240-yard game and one touchdown. He actually does that quite often. But again, with the matchups out there, you see some of these quarterbacks facing teams like the Vikings with Stafford, the Broncos, just quarterbacks you don't really want to start. That's why he deserves to be inside the top 10, even though it is for his first game back.
Taking on Baltimore, number six pass defense in yards per game, but giving up an amazing 14 passing touchdowns.
To Jake's point, though, like those two teams, like inside the division, they always play each other so tight. Like it's always a tight battle.
Division rivalries always tend to be close.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, let's talk about your running back rankings, and let's see if these guys were close in terms of the difficulty that you had in ranking them. We're going to look at 11 to 20. We're starting with Spencer Ware, Hyde. You have Jonathan Stewart, Riddick, Gore, West, Tim Hightower, who we'll get into in just a moment, above Mark Ingram there. A little bit of shade from Jake, but we're going to start with Spencer Ware. So
shade from Peyton.
We're not even sure if he's going to play. He didn't practice, and everyone is on Charcandrick Ware in terms of waiver wire.
Ware, West, Kansas City, same Jake, jerseys, same players.
Just go, Jake. Just go.
I knew where she was going. I still understood. I think everybody listening to, like, the fact is we just don't know. Obviously, with these rankings, I'm assuming as of today, Spencer Ware plays, but that could change today. It could change tomorrow. And if he's out, Charcandrick West is a fringe RB1. I don't think he's quite Spencer Ware's level of talent. He's not going to be in the top 10 conversation because he's more of a scat back, change of pace option. The touches are going to help him. Similar to Jeremy Langford earlier this season, I still think he's more talented than Jeremy Langford, but for the fact of any running back on the field for 90% of the snaps, getting those kind of touches in an offense that likes to use the running backs out of the backfield, he has that kind of upside. So if Spencer Ware is out there, he has been an RB1 so far with no Jamaal Charles. If he's out, Charcandrick West, not quite his level, but he's worth starting in every single league. There's a reason he was the number one waiver pickup for most leagues this week, and if you have him, you have to use him.
Yeah, Ashley touched on Hightower and Ingram there, and I know you don't think exactly the same way as Pat Mayo does. I think that you agree that Ingram is more talented than Hightower, but we're in a situation now where, you know, Peyton just hasn't given the ball to Ingram 27 times. It just doesn't happen. You like Hightower more, but it seems like you can get away with starting both of these guys in a great matchup against San Fran, especially with six teams on bye.
And that's what I'm looking at here. If I have both of them on the same team, no, I don't want to start both of them. But if you have either one, I think even after what happened last week, I would be surprised if Ingram doesn't get a share. Obviously, as you can see with the rankings, I'm leaning towards Hightower having the bigger volume. I think he might get some more of the goal line touches, even if it is a 50-50 split because of the fumble. And I know Sean Payton said that Mark Ingram's not done. He's still a talent we want to use. And this is a backfield that under Sean Payton generally has not been a timeshare for the past couple seasons. This could be the first time we ever start really seeing this with the Saints. And that's why I think you can get both with value this week, similar to the Atlanta Falcons, like we've seen so far this year, or the Cincinnati Bengals. There's a good chance we could get one of them wrong. You know, maybe Mark Ingram fumbles again, and maybe he's left out the entire game, or maybe Tim Hightower gets benched because Ingram comes out and gets four carries for 50 yards right off the bat. But given the matchup and the fact that it is the 49ers who are abysmal against the run, I would feel comfortable starting both as my RB2, definitely not my RB1.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, as you said, one guy could just come out hot and be awesome.
And then you just ride
this
him.
Game could be out of hand, and they could run the ball in the second half, and it could just be all Hightower. It's a tricky situation. I don't like it.
I
don't like it one bit.
I like it if you have Hightower.
Sure.
Well, tell me about this next situation, because, you know, everyone's saying there's a chance Darren Sproles could take the starting role away from Ryan Matthews. Well, actually, it's all like he already has in terms of snap count, in terms of usage. Ryan Matthews saved his week last week when he ran in that easy touchdown against Dallas. You have Sproles ranked at 23. Do you see him for the rest of the season kind of going up from here, or is this kind of where you see his ceiling?
This is where I kind of put him in a standard league. In a PPR, I have him a little bit higher. I think he's somebody you can trust as as an RB2. He's basically Theo Riddick light, and I say it's not even that light. He's kind of 80 to 90% of Theo Riddick, which is somebody people trust even in standard leagues. And honestly, he's been the Eagles' best running back. And what it really comes down to, and why I'm not so surprised by the usage, obviously a little bit, because we went into the season talking about Ryan Matthews and his yards per carry, and all he needs to do is stay healthy. But it's Doug Peterson coming from the Andy Reid offense, which we just talked about. What do the Chiefs love to do? Pass catching running backs out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. Well, what a big surprise. Doug Peterson does the exact same thing. Comes to Philly, starts using the pass catching running back the most. The most consistent option has been Darren Sproles. Oh, and by the way, as a side nugget, it has completely killed the value of Zach Ertz.
Oh, yeah, just like Travis Kelce. Yeah, exactly. It's actually pretty frustrating. Let's bring up your wide receivers, 11 to 20. We really won't get into too many guys in there. You see Amari Cooper, tough matchup against Denver. I know last week in Fantasy Football Championships, he had 8 targets, 0 catches. Denver just shuts down guys. And you can touch on this if you want to, but I really want to get into Dontrell Inman. Yeah, because we were talking a lot at the top about Travis Benjamin, Tyrell Williams, both being banged up, a grade 2 PCL sprain for Benjamin. If he doesn't play, does that make you like Inman a little bit more, or is this just where you have him at 45?
No, I would definitely move Inman up even a little bit more. I actually am ranking Inman, assuming Travis Benjamin plays, obviously, because Benjamin's in the rankings as well. But for the fact that he's got the sprained PCL, he's also, Benjamin has been the third in snap count so far behind the other two, Inman and Tyrell Williams. He's fallen behind, which is a surprise, I'll admit. I'm surprised myself because I already like Travis Benjamin heading into the season, and I thought as soon as Keenan Allen went down, his value was going to go up, but it's been the exact opposite. It's just, well, not the opposite. It's kind of almost stayed even, and now with him falling back in the snap count, maybe it is because of the injury. But Inman was a guy that we looked at too as having a little bit of a history with this team, maybe a PPR option, has started to pick things up again with Benjamin taking a step back recently. So whether or not Benjamin's out there, I like him. If he's out completely, that being Benjamin, I'd probably put Inman inside the top 36 as a wide receiver 3.
Yeah. Wow. Breaking news. Inman jumps to the top 30.
Inman and not Ingram is what I wanted to call him like 4 times.
We're on a roll today, and I. Oh, late night last night watching the Cubs game. Did you watch it, Jake?
Oh, absolutely. That probably was the best World Series game I've seen of my life. Only second to, I was alive and watched the Red Sox Mets with the Bill Buckner. And I'm a Mets fan. So that's number 1 for my list.
All right, Jake, thanks a lot for your time. We'll talk to you again next week, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, take care. All right, Dontrell Inman. I don't know what it is about this guy. For some reason, I just want him to do well. You know, you just have soft spots for people who you hold them in higher regard than maybe they deserve.
Inman?
Yeah, a little bit.
Hey, maybe you should go pick him up.
Got that CFL connection. I don't have room on my roster for that guy. Are you kidding me? Okay. Coming up next, NBA DFS. We'll be back on FST.
Total shade.
This is Fantasy Sports Today. We're going to do some basketball now. NBA DFS. And we have Kyle McEwen from basketballmonster.com to join us now and talk about his favorite plays for tonight. 5-game slate on the hardwood. How's it going, Kyle?
It's going good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, anytime, buddy. Yeah, only 5 games. I don't know if your strategy changes at all a little bit, but we do have Russell Westbrook playing against Kevin Durant tonight. And we know Westbrook's been a beast. He didn't get a triple-double last night. It's probably his worst performance, even though he was really good. But on FanDuel, he's $12,200. Maybe you want to talk about if he's a must-play tonight or if you're going to pivot off him. And maybe there's a couple other point guards that are a bit cheaper that you're looking at.
Yeah, Russell Westbrook, you like that kind of revenge game matchup between Westbrook and Kevin Durant, this OKC playing at Golden State setup. There's an over-under of 224.5 points, so there's going to be a lot of points scored, and you love that because there's just going to be tons of action, the ball getting spread around. At 12.2K, you have to get over 60 FanDuel points from Russell Westbrook, but we've seen him put up that value consistently this season, so you're okay paying that money. And in fact, in those GPP, in those tournaments, you're going to want to have somebody who you know is going to guarantee you those big value points and kind of give you that value for their cash. If you're looking for someone cheaper at point guard, you can go Chris Dunn from Minnesota at just 4.9K, or Jamal Murray is listed at point guard on FanDuel. He's just 3.5K, and he might start at shooting guard with Gary Harris and Will Barton both out.
Yeah, I like those picks. Chris Dunn, of course, he's going to be making those rookie mistakes, so the turnovers might take a hit, but it shouldn't matter if he's going to get the volume.
Yeah,
and the minutes.
He should continue to go up, yeah, without Ricky Rubio, absolutely.
I tried to make a trade for Chris Dunn today. I'm not going to get it. We'll see what happens. All right, talk to me about your shooting guard position, because your expensive option, Giannis Antetokounmpo, he's been great, and he really touches all the categories in a major way, but sometimes he can be too expensive depending on what you're looking to do with the rest of your lineup.
Right. Giannis is 9.7K, so he's an expensive player, but he's been going out there and putting up 50, close to 50 points every single night on FanDuel, and that's what you want to go. If you're spending $1,000, you want to get about 5 points per. So Giannis is a good guy to use there. He played really well against Indiana in the preseason, so you expect him to potentially duplicate that. And then Zach LaVine is kind of a value-ish play, and at 6K, he's a nice value. He's been putting up value for his salary every single game so far this season, and with Ricky Rubio out, that spreads the ball around more to other guys, not just Chris Dunn at point guard.
Yeah, definitely LaVine is the one who's getting the uptick. His price is going to continue to rise. He's been fantastic to start the season, and a good point without Rubio. Let's continue. Let's go back to this OKC and Golden State Warriors game. I mean, everybody's looking forward to this game. They have it. They probably had it circled on the calendar. Certainly, I know Westbrook did. What do you make? Is Kevin Durant a guy that you're going to play as well? I mean, even Draymond Green, some of these guys that just kind of touch all categories with the high scoring total, as you mentioned?
Yeah, when you look at small forward, your options on Thursday are LeBron, Paul George, Kevin Durant, and out of those big salary options, Kevin Durant makes the most sense. He's put up he's gotten the best value for your dollar so far this season, and then going up against his former team, you feel like there's going to be more emotions and more of an impetus for him to kind of show out. And then looking at potential value buys at small forward, Tony Snell is just 3.9K. He's never been a good per minute producer of statistics, but we've seen in just his last couple games playing with Milwaukee, Jason Kidd wants to start him, give him more shots than we ever saw Tony Snell get in Chicago, so he's a good play. And then consider also maybe Jaylen Brown at just 3.5K. He's going up against Cleveland, but he's kind of a safe play for if the potential of a blowout there, mm-hmm. if Cleveland stomps on Boston.
Yeah, with Jaylen Brown, he's one of the new young guys as well coming into the league. He got in a ton of foul trouble in his last game, so he only played 8 minutes. But the good thing about him is that his shooting percentage has been so high all season, so if the opportunity's there, that should be good. And I like the point that you made about the coaches really vouching for both Snell and Brown. And when you look at Snell, his minutes have gone up from 21 to 26 to 33 minutes. So when you see a positive usage like that, it's always
absolutely
a safe bet.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to talk to you. I know you kind of touched on the Warriors already, but are you surprised that with the addition of Kevin Durant that Draymond Green has continued to be as productive, in particular in assists and rebound categories with this team?
Not so much in the assists, just because Draymond's a very unique player in how he gets his assists. He doesn't have the ball in his hands a lot. So when you look at assists per time holding the ball, Draymond's one of the best players in the NBA, and that's why he continues to excel, because he's going to make a quick decision. He's not going to sit out there and dribble around a whole bunch.
All right, we got about 30 seconds. We want to touch on the center position. I know just talking to you last week through email, we were both just big on Miles Turner. This guy's just a freak of nature. He hit a game-winning shot in overtime against the Mavericks, wide open, a three, that is. He can do it all, can he?
Yeah, he can, and some people might be going away from Miles Turner because he's still at 6.9K, and he hasn't hit value, so to say, in a couple of games, but that was because foul trouble and also because of a blowout. So if you look at the minutes played and the production therein, Miles Turner at 6.9K against Milwaukee, he played really well against them in the two preseason games. Looks like a great matchup there.
Awesome. Kyle McEwen from BasketballMonster.com. Give him a follow on Twitter. RotoKyle, NBA is the handle. We'll look forward to talking to you again soon, Kyle.
Thanks, Ashley. Thanks, Chris. Love you guys.
Thanks.
Right, take care. Enjoy the games. Good luck with your plays.
What do you think is going to happen with this Warriors game?
I think it's going to be awesome.
Warriors are 3-1 right now, by the way. The infamous 3-1.
Yeah. I think Draymond might be a little sluggish last night. I think he was up watching baseball. He's tweeting out 3-1 series leads suck. Yeah, they do, Draymond. You know all about that.
So does Kevin Durant.
So does Kevin
Durant. They all
do. I think it's going to be a fantastic game. I'm really, really looking forward to it. I hope the Thunder win, and I hope Westbrook scores 65 points and 20 in overtime.
And I look forward to tomorrow with you, Chris. We'll see you guys later.
Can't wait. Have a great night. Enjoy the football game.
See ya.